you this morning. We exalt you in the name of Jesus, your Son and our Savior, the Redeemer, Father, the one that has bought us and purchased us with his own blood, that we may be now clean, washed clean and made right in your eyes, Lord, righteous before you. Father, we're grateful to be in this position that you have made for us, that you have done, and we just simply trust and thank you and praise you and exalt you for that work that you've done. Father, we pray for your word this morning. Let it penetrate our hearts so that it goes deep inside, Lord, and that it brings about godliness and right thinking and guides us in our course that we're on, Lord. And thank you for the goodness that you pour upon us each and every day, Lord. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I've mentioned already, kind of get it going, but we've all heard of the rhetoric that's out there. I call it Christian rhetoric. It's kind of that Christian slang, or that Christian, not really slang, but the Christian statement where we say, God is good, and then the other person says, all the time, and then it gets switched around, and the other one says it, you know, we kind of recant it back, and all the time, and they say, God is good. You know, it's been around, gosh, I'd say 20 years maybe of doing that. I remember 20 years ago in church, and that used to be kind of the way they started the service every week. You know, we did that. And certain movies, even God's Not Dead, I think 1 and 2 so far, have used that statement between the pastors. You know, they say, God is good all the time, God is good. But does our view of God really, really line up with that? Okay, we say it and we know it, but the question becomes, do we really think that way? Do you really see God as good all the time? Or are there times when the amount of his true goodness that is expressed towards you is that sort of comes and goes a little bit depending on how good you've been or depending on your behavior? If you were a rascal all morning, do you really expect the goodness of God to be shining in your life? Do you really plan on that, even though you just totally went down the wrong road and you know it? And do you really expect God's goodness to be there all the time, meaning at that time as well? So how much of God's blessing in your life then are you basing on your behavior? Or are you basing it entirely on the true and consistent nature of God? Because we know that the goodness of God, or certainly God and his love for us, is consistent. Okay, he's not human, right? He doesn't have a bad day. Okay, he doesn't wake up cranky because he's overtired. You know, you ever seen a kid that starts getting cranky? Well, not just kids. Okay, Margie said we're all God's kids, right? So that still counts. But you ever seen somebody gets a little overtired, or they get what I call hangry? Okay, hangry. Okay, you haven't eaten all day, and so you get a little bit hungry and angry at the same time. You're hangry. Okay? God doesn't have those kind of days. You know, he doesn't go all day without eating and get a little hangry at the evening time or whatever. The scripture says that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Okay, that same love that he had for Adam when he created the beautiful, wonderful Eve to bless him with his helpmate, that same love is still present today. We even sing the song occasionally that says, his love never fails and never gives up, it never runs out on me. Okay, that's why I play drums. We also know the one of the most famous scriptures in the world. I think I quoted earlier, John 3:16, God so loved the world. You know, he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. So we know that his love towards us is consistent. He can't take back Jesus. He can't take back what he's already done. He expressed it tremendously and immensely through Christ, and that love is continued. So what is his love then based on? What is the nature of it? Where does it come from? Okay, if I'm tired and cranky and hangry and I'm struggling to keep my emotions in check, and I start snarling at everything people say to me, and I bark back some kind of rude and abrasive comments, does that mean then that God's going to have to hold back his goodness from me a little bit until I get some sleep, maybe put a little food in my belly and start acting like, you know, a little more like Jesus? Is he going to have to kind of refrain for a little bit until I get back on track? Okay. Some would say that the goodness of God is based on faith. It's solely on faith. Okay, as long as you believe, as long as you have strong faith to receive the goodness of God, then you'll be receiving the goodness of God. Okay, and there is some truth to that. Okay, you do have to believe for the good things of God to come in your life. If you want, you can effectively resist the goodness and the love of God. You cannot accept what He is trying to give you. You can pass it off as, oh, that was just, you know, my employer that blessed me, that wasn't God. Or you can blow it off and say, well, you know, I almost got in that accident, but it was because of my great skill that I didn't get in the accident. You can pass it off. You can resist that love and that make it a difficult or attempt to make it difficult for God to bless you. The reality is He is continually pouring out His goodness towards you. But I want to show you some things about faith and we'll go on from there. Somebody know Hebrews 11:6, our first scripture. One of my favorites again. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So then ask yourself, if you have a bad day and you walk outside of faith and you begin handling things on your own strength and your own power, are you then displeasing to God? He says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So if I walk by the flesh, am I now displeasing to God? Does He at that point just kind of look at you and say, oh, forget them? You know, they don't even care about me enough to pray or to read their Bible or seek me for anything. Does He say, you know what, I'm just not even going to waste my time on them. I'm going to go over here and bless these people that are relying on me for everything. Is that God's attitude towards you? Thank God that it's not, right? If we go back to our first point about God being good all the time, then we have to ask ourselves, why is God good all the time? Why is His goodness being poured to us all the time? The Psalms say in Psalm 100, verse 5, it says, for the Lord is good. Okay, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. It continues on today. Psalm 145, verse 9, says, the Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. Okay? So you start thinking, well, God is just good all the time, right? Isn't that where we started? But then you read something like this in Psalm 34:8 that says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in Him. So then next question then comes, does the Lord's goodness only come when I am trusting God? Okay, there's that faith element. But you start to question it a little bit, maybe when you read scriptures like that, or you think, gosh, it is. There is some of it is based on my behavior. That's what I would hear people say is, you know, you say, is it based on you? Well, some of it is, but they can't really come out and say, nope, it's not based on my behavior at all. The goodness of God is constantly there. Okay? The key to answering the question about God's goodness and does He only bless you when you're trusting in Him or relying on faith, it really comes, we get that answer when we figure out the expected outcome of God, okay, for you in your life. What does God expect from you in your life? What does He endeavor to see in and through you? And figure out what that is, okay? And then we're going to, basically, let me reword this. If we look at the end result of what God wants your life to be this. And then we say, but God is back here. So we start looking at what does it take to get to this end result? And that's going to tell us whether or not God blesses us based on our behavior or not, or how much of it is. Okay? Without a doubt, God desires two things from you and me, and we're going to go over those. One is that we believe in Him by faith. We read that scripture, without faith it is impossible to please God. You have to have faith in Him. That's a number one expectation. Okay, it is something that is required in order for us to, obviously, to be pleasing. The Bible says, without faith it is impossible to please God. So we believe in Him. Jesus talked about faith. He put an emphasis on faith. The disciples emphasized faith then as followers of Jesus. Jesus talked about faith repeatedly, and even at one point he put it very plainly when he says, quote, have faith in God, okay, when he was answering them. I think I put that those scriptures in here. Mark 11, chapter 22, Mark chapter 11, verse 22, says, Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you shall receive them, and you shall have them. It's a tremendous emphasis on faith. Okay, have faith in God. That's number one. That's where he wants us to make sure that we get that part down. Without faith, we can't please God. So the scripture we read earlier that said, without faith, it is impossible to please God, then holds true. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. One of the core expectations of God is that we place our faith and our trust in him. And the second thing, I said there was two things that he requires. The second is that he requires of us repentance. And I know in a grace preaching church, boy, that's a bad word. It's worse than a four letter, man. It's something that people are like, oh no, God just loves us anyway. Okay? And so we forget about repentance. It is something that God requires for us to turn away from that which is not God, to stay on that track or on the path towards him. Okay, and I know some of you might be thinking, you know what? I suppose he's going to tell me I got to turn or burn, man. That this is where it's at. If we don't turn, we're going to not receive from God. Okay, and I suppose I could water the gospel down a little bit. Okay, it's happening in churches all over the world right now, where they water the gospel down and say, you just got to believe. That's it. Okay, there's no more effort involved in it than that. You just got to believe. Okay, but I'd be leaving out a major part of Jesus' ministry and teachings and the disciples and what God really truly intended for us. And I just can't do that. God really does expect that our faith towards him shall be sufficient, that in the way that it shall cause us to turn. Okay, faith leads to an action. That's where that turning away from that stuff comes from. Even after being tempted by the devil in the wilderness, Jesus, some of his John's disciples came to Jesus, and they were beginning to question him or let him know that John had been cast into prison. And Jesus gave them some instructions. And then the Bible says this in Matthew 4:17. It says, from that time on, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Okay, it's at hand. Okay. As Mark wrote his account of this, he put it like this in Mark 1:14. It says, now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Notice the order of the what Jesus taught. Repent and believe the gospel. Okay, now I have purposely put it in the other order this morning when I said you just got to believe and repent. You have faith and repentance. Okay, but I want you to see how they're really reversed, because Jesus preached repentance because there has to be a decision made in somebody's heart in order for them to become a believer. You cannot have faith in him unless you come to the point of a repenting, a turning, a realigning of yourself. Okay? His disciples, Jesus' disciples, then went about preaching repentance as well. In Mark 6:12, it says that they went out and preached that all men should repent. Okay? Peter, on more than one occasion, said things like this, like he did in Acts 3:19. He says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Okay, that repenting and then your sins being blotted out. Again, you see it's kind of in that order that you got to repent a little bit first. Okay, that word repent, it literally is to reconsider or to think differently. Okay, to reconsider or to think differently. It means that if you were okay with going in this direction and you were okay with engaging in this behavior, but now you think differently about it. Now you reconsider that and you begin to think, you know what? This might not be the best route. I think it's over here. I think this is it. And we begin to realign ourselves. You begin to think differently. You reconsider your direction and you adjust your course to go a different way. Now, I know I've taught before the definition of sin is to miss the mark. And so as that guy is shooting his arrow at the target and he's missing the mark, he realigns a little bit. He sights it in a little bit better to hit it the next time. That is repenting. That is the realigning that goes on. So you're going to see this. Remember I talked about the course of the life that you're on? Okay, you'll see this. Hang in there with me. Some people's minds, when you think about adjusting your course or repenting, some people's minds will go here. They'll say, when thinking of God and His goodness, okay, His favor and blessings and His grace, they think, well, I have not turned away from some of the things that are not of God. I still have these things in my life that I personally know are not of God. Therefore, He cannot shower me with goodness because I haven't repented yet. Okay, but get this, God's way works like this. God's way is the one that matters, right? We can think whatever you want. Truly, it's going to come down to God being God, who He is, doing it His way because He is God and He can do that. And we're going to just be okay with that. Okay, but when you start looking for and expecting and seeing the goodness of God in your life, and you begin to see that God does bless me even when I was a rascal this morning. God does bless me even after I just got done screaming at somebody. You begin to see that it causes your thinking about what you did to change a little bit. And your behavior then begins to follow your thinking, which is now a little bit different about it. Let me give you some example. If you do something that you know is not right, okay, you blow up you start screaming obscenities at the driver that just cut you off in traffic and you gave him that little not so nice one finger wave kind of thing. Okay. But then you go to work, you get to work and, oh, there's a parking spot right out front. And you park in the front spot. And then you go inside and your coworker knows the first thing you do is get a cup of coffee every morning. So now they just made two. So that as soon as you walk in, here's a cup of coffee for you. They were just thinking about you. Then your boss calls you into the office and says, I need to talk to you for a minute. Offers you a promotion for that new spot that just came open. They're trying to create a new position and want you to be the guy thinking about taking it. Okay. Then you get to working and things just start clicking. And you get your work done pretty quick. And so you go home at the end of the day and just out of the blue, your spouse decided they were going to make you your favorite meal. They didn't even know about the stuff that happened at work or any of the other things. And pretty soon, you start realizing, I was a rascal this morning, and then all these good things just happened to me anyway. And it begins to change what you think about that action that you did earlier. That's not the good stuff. This is better. Okay, and so you start to look at what happened or that behavior or that action and you repent, you turn, you begin to think differently about what you did and you begin to think, you know what, I kind of like to take back those few moments. I wish I could do that again and I would probably treat that person nice. Remember, the whole thing is you treat other people the way you want to be treated. So when you get treated nice, sometimes you think, oh, I should treat them nice too. It kind of feels good. And so it helps as part of the way that God's plan works for us. But right then and there, after all these good things happen, that's when you begin to change your thinking about that negative behavior. Okay, you admit it wasn't right and you endeavor, you know what, I don't want to do that again. And that's where it begins. It's God using other people to bless you so that the goodness of God then can turn you away from things and turn you toward Him more and more. Know this, just get this down inside. God is going to bless you in spite of your actions. That's His nature. That's who He is. That's what He wants to do, and that's what He's going to do. Okay, you can try to tell Him He can't, try to tell Him He's not supposed to, but God is going to bless you in spite of yourself. Okay, if He waited for you to get right first, we wouldn't be here, right? Okay, He had to bless you in spite of your behavior. Okay, no matter what you were doing, he had to do that. But his intention with doing that, with blessing you in spite of yourself, is so that you will see and recognize the intensity of his love for you. That his love really does never fail. It never runs out. It never, you know, runs out on me. Okay, we get that, and that's what God's intention is. When the Apostle Paul was writing to the Romans, he tells them, don't get upset because God's blessing the unrighteous person. They were complaining about it. How come God's making this happen? Okay, and he says to them, why do you despise the riches of God's goodness and his mercy and his patience with them? Do you not know that it is the goodness of God that leads to repentance? And so he corrects them and says, don't get mad at God because he's blessing everybody, but know that God is blessing them on purpose, for a purpose, and it's so that they will turn unto him. Okay, you didn't have to clean up your life before he gave you the gift of eternal life. God blessed you with eternity in heaven so that we now have a plan. We now know what our course is, and we can stay on that course. We know that Ephesians chapter 2 says that we are saved by grace. We're saved by faith, not by works. It's not of our own effort. It is not your own will, your own skill, your own ability and effort that you were washed clean and you're going to spend an eternity with God. God did that of his own nature, his own plan. It is a result of our faith in him. But having faith in God is not the same as repenting from sin and dead works. Okay, it's not the same. Faith is added to by the change in behavior that happens. Look at this. As the Apostle Paul was saying goodbye to some friends, he summarizes his ministry and kind of the ministry that he has had towards them, and he says this in Acts chapter 20, verse 20. He says, know how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but I have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, I've heard the definition, and you probably heard this, of repentance before. Okay? That it's a 180. Okay? It's a complete turning away. Okay? You're going in this direction and you fully turn to a different and head in the other direction. And to a certain extent, that holds true, right? With our eternal life, okay, you were on your way to hell, you repented, received God, and now you're on your way to heaven. You couldn't get more opposite, right, in the direction that it takes your life. But the truer definition of repentance is to realign your course. Okay, to change your thinking about the direction you were going and alter your path because of it. It means that you have a course that is plotted. You have a target. You have a goal. You have a destination. And you're seeing that you're straying off course and you're going to readjust it to get it back on that. Now I ask you, if you're a believer this morning, what is your final destination? What is your goal? So if your goal is getting to heaven and you begin to see, you know what, I'm straying off of the mark a little bit, I need to get back on track, that is where it's at. And the goodness of God is what is going to show us to get back on track, to get us back in that direction. Okay? You've been saved by faith, which makes heaven your destination. Okay? It means that you have a course plotted, you see that you've strayed off course, so you readjust and get it back on track so that you'll reach your destination as planned. Okay, as planned. By your faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you set your course. You determine you needed God's intervention in order to be saved, and then by His grace and unmerited favor, you are now on the right track. You're on your way to heaven. But the goodness of God is what led you to that point. And it's that goodness of God that will continue to lead you to realign your course. In other words, it's the goodness of God that will guide you to adjust your course. You could say it like this, that faith in God through Jesus Christ leads to eternal life in heaven. But it is the goodness of God that leads to a life stayed on the right path, stayed on that track. Okay? As we get closer to finishing this up, Hebrews chapter 6 outlines the basics of Christianity. It talks about the foundational principles of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the core six, I call them. Okay? And it outlines six different basics of Christianity. Hebrews 6:1, it says, therefore, leaving the principles or the basics of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. And that's a King James word. It means maturity. Let's grow up as a Christian. Let's be strong believers. So let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of what? Repentance from dead works, stuff that's not going to help, doesn't do any good, holds you back, leads you astray, makes a mess, begins to stink. Okay, it's leading you away from the things of God. So we don't want to lay again that foundation of repentance from dead works. That's got to be in the beginning. And of faith towards God. And of the doctrine of baptisms and the laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. Okay, all six of these are separate and yet they're intertwined pieces of the bigger picture. Remember I said earlier that you're on a course, on your way to heaven. God has a plan for you in your life and a destination for you to get there. And that is the end result, that you'll spend eternity with Him in heaven. And that is going to be a good and awesome thing. Part of the getting there is these things. Okay, they all lead to us fulfilling the great expectation that God has, that we have faith and we live our lives in a way that demonstrates that we know and understand where our final destination is. If you know you're on your way to heaven, then live like it, in other words. It's a way of keeping us knowing that we're on our way somewhere. Repentance from dead works simply means that, like I said, we change our mind. Okay, we go from trusting in our own ability to trusting and relying on God. That's a repenting from dead works, things that weren't going to do us any good. Okay, we put our faith toward God and not in ourselves. The laying on of hands represents the application of the power of God that through His goodness He has poured upon each one of us. We have the ability to use that. The baptism is an outward expression of an inward belief that God is the one that washes us clean. It is an expression of what I believe inside, that it's up to God and Him. He does this. It is literally engaging your commitment that you will be different. Okay? It means I understand God does something, did something, and I'm engaging in my faith in that by the baptism. It's an expression of the change of mind that you have had. Believing in the resurrection of the dead simply means you understand the spiritual nature of God. Okay, this physical human flesh is only temporary, thank God, right? Okay, it is going to perish, but it is your spirit that is going to live on for an eternity with God. Okay, knowing of the eternal judgment, get this, it's going to take us back to the faith, back to the beginning. Knowing of the eternal judgment means that you concede to the truth that life is so much more than just your 100 years on earth. Life is eternal. It is, and your eternal life is what is at stake. So that takes us back to the beginning of our walk with God, where changing our mind and placing our faith in Jesus Christ sets us on the path of eternal life with God in heaven. Okay? Mercy and goodness is something that follows us all the days of our life. The Bible tells us that, right? If you know, a lot of you know Psalm 23, you probably have some of it memorized. The first six verses, I think, it says this. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Look at the goodness, the blessing of God, and see where this goes. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. They preparest a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. The goodness of God is appearing. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So when you stray off course and God still blesses you with His goodness because He can't help it, you will turn around and you will run smack into mercy and goodness that have never left you. They've always been with you. They're always everywhere you go. They're just waiting for you to receive them, to stop running away from them. And you'll receive the goodness of God again and again and again. You've heard of a positive reinforcement plan. Anybody ever use M&M to get your kid to go pee in the toilet? Okay. Hey, those kind of positive reinforcement things, we've seen them, we've used them. God, this is a divine plan of positive reinforcement. God wants you to receive His goodness because it's going to steer you back on the right path. If you're starting to stray, God will bless you because He wants you to get back on the right path. He'll show you the right way to go so that you'll steer and constantly stay in the right direction with Him. Every time that you receive the goodness, it readjusts your course and you begin to steer towards Him where the goodness of God was flowing from to begin with. It is the goodness of God expressed towards you that rekindles your fire. And it is the goodness of God that will keep you from giving up, to keep you from getting. Remember David? Psalm 27:13, he said, I would have fainted except unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Okay, sometimes we need to be reminded, God is pouring out. When you see that good thing, thank God for it, and it begins to revive you. Okay, oh, that men would receive the see and receive the goodness of God. There's one psalm in the Bible, in Psalm 107, that says that phrase over and over and over again. In 107:8, it says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He satisfies the longing soul and He fills the hungry soul with goodness. A few verses later, verse 15 says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. 21 says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Begin to see a pattern here. Verse 29 says, it is He that makes the storm calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So He brings them unto their desired haven. Okay, it is God that is going to get you there by His goodness. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works unto the children of men. Okay, it is God that by our thanksgiving and praising and understanding of where the goodness comes from, He will get us to our desired haven, to the end of the road where He wants us to be. God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. He is pouring Himself out into your life. And I want to encourage you this morning to look for the goodness of God. Sometimes you got to look deep. You got to look beyond the surface stuff and just start looking at the true things where you have health and life and peace and joy, and the things where things could have been worse but they weren't, and you know that God's hand was in it, and begin to praise Him and to thank Him and to understand and receive the goodness of God, because it does something on the inside. God isn't good for no reason. He could be a mean God. He could be a bad God. He could be a you know, smack you over the head kind of God, but He is not. He is a good God pouring out goodness into your life for a purpose, because it will guide you back. And the more that we can receive, it will help keep us on the right track. Amen. Father God, we praise You this morning. Again, giving thanks to You, Father. Every day we wake up and take a breath, Lord, we can give You praise for it. Every day we see the sun come up again, we can give You praise for it. Every day, Father, when we see and hear the laughter, or we see things happening around us, Lord, we can praise You and thank You for the goodness that You've been pouring into us. Father, we can thank You that we're here this morning. We can thank You that, Father, You provided a way for us to sow in this morning. We thank You that You provide our food that we have to eat yesterday, today, and tomorrow, Lord. We thank You that we shall not be begging bread, Lord. We thank You that You're providing all sorts of things every day in our life, and we're just giving You the praise and the thanks for it, not even mentioning salvation and redemption and all the things that You've did through Jesus. Father, we praise You, we exalt You, and we thank You for Your goodness towards us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Goodness.